As we draw our summer psalms to a close today, we finish with what are two very different psalms. They're not different from each other, but Psalm 66 and Psalm 67 are different from the other psalms that we've looked at over the past number of weeks. Because Psalm 66 and 67 are two psalms that exclusively praise God. There's no requests. There's no sense of fear from the attacks of God's enemies. These are psalms or songs that allow God's people to purely praise him for who he is. In other words, these psalms are songs as responses to God's faithfulness. And as we'll see in Psalm 67 this evening, it's similar in meaning to that of the Aaronic blessing of number 6, a shorter version of it. And in that psalm, it demonstrates the people's belief in God's spiritual blessing on them and the blessings that he gives his people through creation. And we see something of that in Psalm 66 today, but Psalm 66 is an individual psalm of thanksgiving. It's one that, yes, would be sung as the congregation, but it reflects the individual prayer requests to God and how he has answered them. And in those answers, it is then the people who sing as a return of praise to God for his faithfulness. And what Psalm 66 does is it reflects back to two key moments in Israel's history that give examples of individual prayer yet answered for the benefit of the whole nation, for the entirety of the children of Israel. One is a historical event that we'll be able to see quite quickly. It's a specific event, and the other is a more general event that happened time after time because of how the children of Israel treated God and the covenant that he made with them. And so Psalm 66 is one about history. And I think we all know that history is important to God's people. It's through the historical accounts that we learn who we are and how God has shaped us and folded us into his great family. But it also tells us what we believe, how those of old have understood, not just very old, but recent history, have understood what it means to know this word and its truth so that we may live in it today. And many churches have produced their own histories, either as denominations or as congregations, telling the story of what essentially is a small group of people in one place at one time who desire to worship God. And so a church is planted in an area for people to gather where there has been no church, and they gather there to worship God. Indeed, many church histories tell of churches being planted because of growth in population in particular places. And this is, in fact, God's story of the people here in Annalong. Whenever you trace back several hundred years, you'll discover that the big meeting was never the big meeting. In fact, it was on the outskirts of Kilkeel on the way to Ross Trevor. It was only in later years that they got permission to build in that big building in the center of Kilkeel, who then planted a church in what was the growing Ballymartin, that then gave way to the growing Annalong. And so we find ourselves almost 200 years later, because of population shift, but also because of a desire to be witnesses for Christ in a place where there was no witness. A church is planted where there were no other churches. And now historical accounts and generally congregational historical accounts don't give every single detail. If it did, well, then there'd be volumes or it'd simply be recounting the minutes of Kirk Session and Committee. But what these histories do is they tell of the key points so that readers can understand what the important moments in the life of a congregation are. And take it for a moment, as we've thought of before in our own lives, we all have our own histories, be it a wide family history or our own history in how we've been brought through life. Our histories have key moments. We don't detail every single thing, but there are key moments that have formed us and shaped us and made us who we are for today and prepared us for the future. And this is what Psalm 66 does. It reflects on the history of God's people to this point so that they can look to God and to know who he is. As they understand the important moments of the life of themselves as a people and as a nation under God, so they can give praise back to him for his goodness and his faithfulness. And they do this in three ways in this passage, because Psalm 66 shows us the prayers of God's people, the praise of God's people, and the promise of God's people. Prayers, praise, and promise. And you'll know that I'm not giving to three P's, or indeed much three of anything, so I'm quite pleased with myself that I came up with three P's this morning for this passage. But I hope it is a way to remember, but also shows just exactly what this psalm is talking about. And so we begin with the prayers of God's people. And what I will say is that we're not going to go through this beginning at verse 1, ending in verse 20. We're going to jump around a little bit. And as we do, we're going to learn as we go. So there's not going to be one big application moment at the end of this, our time in this this morning. You're going to have to keep following so that you can hear what each part teaches us and says to us. And so we begin with the prayers of God's people. And more importantly, how he has answered their prayers. God's people have always had the wonderful privilege of prayer. We've never restricted prayer. In other words, we've never held prayer back from anyone, either offering it on behalf of someone or inviting someone to pray for us. Growing up in Scripture Union, I'm very thankful that Scripture Union in my high school held a prayer meeting, because as a second year, being at the age of 12 or 13, I was invited into a prayer meeting, into which, as awkward and as nerve-wracking as it felt to pray, I was given the opportunity to learn how to pray and to pray out loud. I don't like to say practice, but in a way it was, that I would learn what was important about prayer. Our churches allow for prayer. We hold two prayer meetings on a Sunday as well as midweek during the year of when we can gather corporately to pray. These are our prayer meetings, of which you are invited to and to play a full part in. Because prayer is not for a special group of people. Prayer is for every member of God's family, because prayer is direct communication with God. We make known to him the things that are on our hearts, our joys and our sorrows, our troubles and our fears, our praises and our thanksgiving, and our prayers for others. Specifically here in verses 5 to 7 and then in verses 10 to 12, we are told in Psalm 66 of prayers that individuals offered up, but the answer was known by the whole community because it was for their good. And verses 5 to 7 bring us back to the Exodus and the escape from Egypt, because verse 5 begins with an invitation to come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. So there's an acknowledgement here in verse 5, in this verse, that there is something important to remember, and it is that God has worked in marvelous ways, ways that the people didn't even expect. Because Egypt was no holiday for God's people. As we just finished in June, they entered into the land of Egypt as a land of rescue during that period of famine, because Joseph settled his family in Goshen. Well, over 400 years later, they leave as a group of slaves, seeking God to lead them to the land of promise and to free them from their servitude in Egypt. This he does. And for these people, they never forget it. And this psalm makes sure that they don't forget it, because the people are to remember the salvation of the Lord. Look at what verses 6 and 7 tell us. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come,